Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Mantella. Hope y'all all having a great morning, great afternoon, great evening, wherever you are on our big, beautiful blue planet. You know, I say it every week, guys, but really, there's no other radio show I want to be on other than tonight. This is where I want to be on Wednesday nights. I've been here on Wednesday nights for, oh, God, we're in 2018, so what, 15 years now? It's a good slot. I enjoy it. A lot of good people come and listen to the show. We get a lot of good feedback on the network, and really, I do enjoy doing the radio show. I mean, it's got its, you know, good days and its bad days, like anything else in the world. And we're going to get into topics in a few minutes here. But really and truly, it's just a great place to come hang out and see what's going on with the world and enjoy the show and discuss a lot of my favorite topics and some of my not so favorite topics, and time to time bring in some guests and discuss some topics that I'd like to discuss with them. We don't do guests in December, so you only got November left, and you only got 2 weeks left in November. So, yeah, we're going to bring on two, but we don't really do guests. And occasionally, we do specials. I might talk to Alfred Weber. I always like to end the year or begin the year with Alfred Weber. We usually do like an end of the year, begin the year update. Pretty yellow flower, yes. Man, y'all are just fired up in the chat tonight, huh? I know, man. I've been watching y'all's comments. Y'all are fired up. Why? Because of the title of the show? I mean, because I want to know what aliens are coming here for. What? Okay. that's just stupid. Some of this shit I wish I could put on the air so they could see this stuff. I may have to put y'all on the other broadcast computer where they can see some of this stuff I get sent to in a live show. And y'all wonder why I'm nuts. I know. It's just crazy in itself. It really is. I mean, some of the crap we get is just insane. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff to keep up with. But you found, Jane, there's been some new sightings. You know, there's been some airplane sightings and a couple of things, which we'll talk about a little later in the show. But for the most part, it's pretty much the same old, same old. I'm seeing conferences, same old, same old. No real news coming out. And they try to dramatize or exaggerate everything they can in the field today. It's a sad. Well, because people have to make a living at it. Yeah, so it's just kind of sad that they have to make this living on this. And well, like I said, it's just kind of on the sad side. I mean, I don't know why anyone would want to lie, cheat, and steal when we're trying to get to the truth. And Kim, no, the title for tonight was The Infamous Joe Mantella doing UFO Undercover Tonight. He says, come join the infamous Joe Mantella doing UFO Undercover Tonight as he talks about why in the hell would advanced extraterrestrials want to come to this backward world and take our people. It is a backward world. You can't deny it's not a backward world. I mean, come on. Just look around on a damn planet. We're definitely ass backwards. But it's more than that, because they came here a long time ago when we were far more back asswards than we are today. Today we got nuclear weapons and televisions and iPads and phones and computers, and now we got flying cars. Well, almost flying cars. We got nice boat cars. Have y'all seen them? Those are badass. I'm thinking about buying me one of those. Oh yeah, man, it just drives right into it. They got the motorcycle that does it. They got the Jeep that does it. They got the car that, oh man. You know, when I was a kid in my 20s, one of my friends who I grew up with always said he wanted to invent a car that could drive on the land and the wheels could fold up and go on water. Well, these don't actually fold. This just goes on and drives. It's cool as hell. Yeah, we'll see how ridiculous the price is first. Well, I live in Louisiana. I live in Mississippi in the swamp, in the Gulf and everything. It'd be great to have a car that can go on the freaking water. Give me a break, man. I mean, half the things we drive over is bridges. I mean, we spend as much time on the highway as we do on a bridge. So, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice. All my friends coming from La Place or Covington, where they're on a bridge for an hour, you know, they're crossing the bridge. And if there's any kind of slow traffic, they're on this stupid bridge for an hour, or two, or three. Gator infested waters. Yeah, I'm not kidding you when I say gator infested waters. Them damn waters are gator infested. So it'd be nice to have one of those. The future's catching up. Not as fast as I would like to see it catch up. But, you know, there's been lots of new things being done lately before we get into the topic matter. I mean, really, NASA, you know, anybody who's listened to the show for any length of time will tell you I've bitch, moaned, griped, and complained about we're going to find life in other worlds in our own solar system. And now, finally, NASA agrees with me. Oh, yeah, NASA, first off, NASA does think we're going to find life on Mars. and not just microbiological life. They're talking about life on Mars. No, we're not talking about Martians or anything like that, but they're talking about like small mammals, maybe insects, maybe areas where there's caverns that may have water, liquid water and air, may have pockets of it where there's little remnants of an ecosystem left behind. That's what they're talking about. But on the moons of Jupiter and Saturn, they're talking about life. No, still, they're not talking about you and me. But they're talking about, well, just to put this, I forgot which moon it was. So the probe's coming up to the moon, and you can see the ice from above, right? And while it's sitting there watching this big chunk of ice, you know, it's just basically frozen over planet, you could tell because ice moved, and you could look like there was liquid underneath it. But more so than that, while all this was going on, something big and dark passed under the ice. I imagine it could have been anything, but if it was alive, it was about the size of a whale. It was big. And I do remember the people who seen it all kind of freaked out on it. Oh, and yes, of course, there's a probe leaving our solar system, the big rock. Well, it could be a probe. I don't know. I mean, I'm not flying out to the rock to find out. Obviously, it didn't find Earth interesting. It didn't slow down or stop. It always reminds me, when I see this thing, it reminds me of that vampire movie. I can't remember the name of it. They sent out a bunch of astronauts out to Halley's Comet. And when they get there, they find a spacecraft. And there's three vampires, a girl and two guys in there. They're kind of like energy vampires. So anyway, they bring him back, bring him home. They kill everybody on board the shuttle. Only one guy seems to live. He gets out in the thing. And then they get down on Earth in London. For some reason, NASA spacecraft were going to London. I'm not sure what that was about. But anyway, these things get loose in London and basically destroy London. And they're sucking all the energy out and sending it back up to the spaceship. But that spaceship looks like this rock. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting. Kind of funny. Kind of freaky. Well, no, more than just – in the very beginning, a lot of people said this looks like some kind of old probe, maybe a deactivated one, something passing through from God knows where that's been being beat up on and you know, bombarded by rocks and meteors over the years, and this is what it looks like now. It's quite possible. I mean, you can't deny it, but I mean, we still haven't seen it. I mean, we haven't gone out there and touched it and felt it and done anything like that. Now, one of the reasons somebody thought it may be real is because it picked up speed about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. No, it's not from some gravitational force. Actually, it's one of the reasons the Harvard science got involved in this, because it seemed like it was some type of propulsion. Maybe it's got some size. Maybe it self-corrects its course. We don't know where it's going. It's just passing through here. It may be passing through millions of solar systems for tens of millions of years and then being going home and dumps the information. Maybe it's how the aliens know where to go invade. I'm just saying, guys. It's interesting, but I agree, Carl. I mean, there's no evidence to suggest, other than that little piece we talked about, to suggest that it is alien. It is cool looking, and it is weird looking, but still, alien is pushing it. I mean, it really is. It's just kind of pushing it out there. Now, while we're talking about that, we might as well segue into these. You know, recently there's been several pilot reports of orbs, and what's weird about this is the last few weekends, while Linda and I are riding around at night, we've been seeing some weird lights hovering over Bay St. Louis. And over two areas, and they're real low, and they're not showing up on radar, and they're not up on my probe monitor, and definitely not satellites or anything like that. They're too low. I mean, these things are really low. They're definitely flying below radar, whatever they are. They're usually just a group of white lights, and they just seem to be moving along. You know, they don't really necessarily fly in any particular order, any particular direction. No, it's not like the wind's taking them. I mean, they definitely are moving, and they change course, and it's almost like they're doing some type of search pattern. And we've been watching them for two weekends now and trying to get some film on them. Last night we went – or Monday night we went looking for them, but we couldn't find them. But the reason I bring this up is this sounds a whole hell of a lot like what these pilots are describing. Where were they? Denmark? Was it Denmark? Ireland, I think, is actually where the first reports came in from. Multiple pilots report UFOs. We saw a bright light, and it just disappeared. Well, the pilots gave a little bit more description than that, and it lasted a little bit longer than that. But it originally came out in the Irish Times. So Ireland's where it was originally cited at. And so these were being seen there. We're telling you about ones being seen here. Well, there's been another report up in the Hudson River Valley area, where these same lights have been being seen hovering around it the last few nights. I don't know. From time to time, we get these kind of waves. Nobody really knows what they are. Obviously, they're not ours because they're flying things ways that ours don't. And they stay up entirely too long. But still, you know, are they ET? Well, Glenda, it could be. It could be some really advanced drones with some long flight times flying up there. I doubt they're battery powered. They would probably be some type of fuel powered. Yeah, if they're going to be up for, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, and they probably are carrying some type of fuel. No. A battery heavy enough to keep something up like that for hours, big enough for you to see with the naked eye, that's a pretty serious battery. Well, we fly drones all over the place, but those drones are not battery powered. You're talking like the ones we send to Iraq and Iran. No, those aren't battery powered. Some of those are jet powered. Some of those are conventional fuel powered and can be refueled on route. I don't know. I didn't, the original report I seen came off of one of the European papers. Well, I think the one that I actually seen first was off the London Times. It's one of the papers I get for the news shows we do. So I'm thinking actually that's where the original report, but of course they said the Ireland Times or time, yeah. So that's what it was probably originally posted. I probably caught it off the London Times coming into my mail feed is where I seen it. What's posted? It's posted to News on the Flip Side and to the Gathering page and to the iCar page on Facebook. So you can always go directly to the link and check it out. There's so much stuff that's going on with all of this. Well, Glenn, I mean, there's just so much of this that we hear from. Yeah, well, actually here, you know, I'm glad you said that. I'll put this up where y'all can see it. It'll pop in over my face here in just a minute. Hold on, I lied. There you go. And I don't know who this is. We get out the way there, buddy. Okay, that's the rock they're talking about. There's several pictures of this thing now. You know, I like people, you know, they post it on your Facebook page and all, it's just a rock. See, here's a little better, clearer picture. It's an odd looking rock. I mean, it's an odd, I'm not saying that, look, don't hate on me. I'm not saying if it is or if it isn't a probe. Damn, people, calm down. But I'm just saying it's an odd looking rock. That's all I'm saying. I'm not even saying any more than that. This is another one, a NASA post image of crash flying saucer from outer space. This looks like some kind of something eyes, maybe had a chute on it or something like that. I don't know. I'm not convinced it's from outer space. Or I should say alien from outer space. It could be from outer space. Well, this is the Drake equation. You could use this. Anybody who wants to use this can use this to figure out how many aliens they think are running loose in the universe. I'm not talking about a planet universe. That's the Ancient Aliens episode I was in last year, or this year, sorry. It was this year. I'm sorry. I think last year, but it was this one. But yeah, y'all can check all of those out. And like I said, the rock's cool. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. Hey, let's go to the other picture. I like it better. There you go. Y'all can look at that one. And then I'll put my picture back up on the page. Hold on. Yeah, I'll put it up back in a minute. Hello, who's calling? Hello?
Hi there. Looking for a radio show?
You got a radio show. What can I do for you? We got several of them. Which one are you looking for?
Okay, I'm calling about the UFO on the cover tonight. Okay, that's why I'm calling. I wasn't sure if I had the correct number or not. So, the name is Renee, and I'm not sure if it's the radio show is starting now or later, but I'm in.
No, actually, we've actually run a little late tonight, but we've been on for about 15 minutes. You can catch us on YouTube and on Spreaker and all places like that. If you go to our main site, which is uprntalkradio.com, there's a couple of places on there you can click to listen. Don't click on the player because the player is actually Rerun Archives running. But okay. The other links like YouTube and Spreaker and all, you can click on them and it'll bring you right to a place to listen to us. And you can call in anytime. I mean, we're just chit-chatting. We're talking about that asteroid that's been passing through our solar system that scientists think maybe possibly might be alien, maybe not, maybe something else. We've been talking about a few sightings we've seen, you know, heard from Ireland and a few other places besides that. We haven't really even got into the meat and potatoes of the show yet. We're just kind of catching up on the local UFO and alien news, I guess you could call it.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect, man. Perfect. Yeah, I don't really hardly ever call in the shows, but just saw an ad on Facebook and call in, see what's going on, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't mind people calling. And, you know, if you're like on YouTube or Spreaker, they got like little mini chat rooms there, or a little, I don't know what the hell you would call them, to be honest with you. But usually one of us are logged into them so that if somebody posts a question there, we can usually see it. Sometimes we might be busy yapping at the mouth, but usually we'll catch the questions there or on Spreaker. It just makes it easier for people who don't want to call in or would rather ask a question via chat. Because some people don't mind getting up here and yapping, and some people don't, you know, some people don't like it, which I can understand that. When I was younger, I didn't like to call in the radio shows. God knows what happened to me. But when I was young, it was like an act of Congress to get me to call into a show. Now I call in any damn show. I'll be driving down the highway. Give me the damn phone number. I'm calling these idiots.
Hell yeah. No doubt. That's awesome, man. For sure. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So if I wanted to call in and have a little chit-chat, call a later.
Yeah, the number you just called, that brings you right into the line. Now, we don't – sometimes if we're in a roll or something – you know, listen, because you might hear me say something like call back in 20 minutes or something, because sometimes we don't take questions. But I seen your number come in, so I just grabbed it because I was just chit-chatting. But it just depends what I'm talking about or who's on with me. So we do take questions all the time via the phone or like I said, via text. It's just from time to time I might say, wait, call back in 20 minutes. So just, you know, listen for that. Or sometimes I might just drop you into the call like just now, so you never know what's going to happen. But it makes it more fun, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We want people to enjoy themselves when they're visiting. Oh, and why does that say? See, we started at 7:11 tonight, obviously, because it's in the title. I'm going to get that out of there.
Yeah.
But we usually start about 5 minutes after 7, and we get on. And you can find like all of our archives on SoundCloud and Ustream, and I mean, SoundCloud and Podcast and places like that, Podcast Gardens and Podbean. Damn, I couldn't spit that out for nothing. But
Wow! I know you're just giving her.
But like the SoundCloud, I mean, we keep, you know, we've got about 15,000 archives up between the three major sites. And there's, I mean, really, for this show, there's 10 years of archives available for this show right now. So at 50 shows a year, at 2 hours a show. So it's about 1,000 hours. We have more than that, but that's just what's available. And then there's some old, I used to host Wake Up USA UFO Study back about 12 years ago and 13 years ago. And there's some of those archives available as well. And this guy is anybody and everybody. I've interviewed everybody that existed in the field at least a dozen times.
Really? Well, I'll be darned.
Well, that's the only way you can get to who's lying and who's telling the truth.
Sure. Hey, just throw this out there quickly, Joe. UFO undercover, whatnot. It says talk about advanced extraterrestrials you may want to come to Earth, backwards Earth and whatnot. You know, is extraterrestrials in using human bodies or disguised as humans is something that's and walking amongst us and you know participating in the world as is that something that you've considered or that you
maybe? I have considered it and I really have considered it hard, but the way I know it's not happening is because our planet is so fucking screwed up. You know, one thing I've come to understand about the major races that we investigate, the five or six major races that we investigate, they're not near as screwed up as we are, not even close. It's not that they don't make mistakes because they do, and it's not that in their past they may not have been a lot like we are today, but in the reality of the universe, like the Greys are probably a billion years older than we are. They're not going to make the same mistakes we're making. They're past most of the crap that we'll be doing for the next 500 or 600 million years. So they look at things differently. So if they were involved in our politics, the Greys are very efficient, just like the reptilians and humans, and you would see a much more efficient planet. Well, we don't see that. It's like when people tell me, well, the aliens are here to wipe us out or they're here to save us. No, because actions speak louder than words. So if they were here to wipe us out, they've been here for a couple hundred thousand years. It would have been easy to wipe us out a few thousand years ago when there was only a couple hundred thousand of us on the planet. Today, there's 7.7 billion of us, or 7.4 billion of us. So that actually might take a little bit of work. But back in the day, it wouldn't have. But to say the same thing, if they were here to enlighten us, and they've been here this long, they've done a piss poor job of it.
Well, I wouldn't. No, I mean, if there's 7 billion people and there's a constant sort of oppression or disinformation campaign that's been going on for thousands of years.
Oh, yes, I agree with that.
Changed, all right. And perhaps that the fact that you can see the world backwards means that your soul, your consciousness may come from a different reality, and you may be one of the undercover sort of extraterrestrials in terms of higher consciousness that is here making those changes.
But you see, the problem with that is sure. the Gray's consciousness level is far beyond anything we couldn't even interact with them on a conscious plane. There's no comparison. It would be like trying for you yourself to try to go back to an Aborigines and interact with him on a level that he could understand. He couldn't. Even on a spiritual plane, he wouldn't be able to understand it. There's no point of reference. And that's the real point. As we grow, we learn more, we get more points of references. But we're only a 2-million-year-old species. And even if you're saying we're coming from other worlds, we're still young in the grand scheme of aliens that are billion and a half years old. There's just no comparison. Yeah. There's no way for us. Anything we would see from them would be magic to us. There's no other way for us to perceive it because we just don't understand. And it's like the light beings. The light beings are probably, in our understanding, probably the most powerful race to exist in the known universe at this time.
Yeah.
They're pure energy. They can move through time and space through thought. But frankly, they have nothing in common with us other than the fact that at one time, billions of years ago, they were bipedal. Other than that, they don't have anything in common with us right now. So trying to share any kind of consciousness with them, it would burn us. Even if they were to try to share a body to help us understand it, it would still burn us. There has to always be a stepping stone and playing fields so that, you know, the average Joe, whoever that may be, can actually understand what he or she is seeing, whether it's physically here on Earth or on another. Because I'm a big believer of the cosmic consciousness. My problem that I deal with the cosmic consciousness is that it's a layered consciousness, and it really depends on where you are. But there are some places that anyone who's reincarnated as a human just can't go. They just don't have the emotional and mental abilities to go. Now, I'm not saying in a million years or 5 million or 500 million, we won't be there. I don't know what date. But I can tell you, if you only judge aliens by their actions, they're not here to enlighten us and they're not here to wipe us out. They have a total separate agenda. Actually, they have several agendas. And the sad part about this agenda is a lot of times we're just part of their agenda. We're not even the whole damn agenda. See, this is what humans do. And this is why I've been studying this for 35 years. Humans always have a tendency to make ourselves self-important. It's what we do to make ourselves feel better about it, something that we can't handle, we don't understand, or we can't stop. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just it taints a lot of information. So occasionally, and I'm with you on this, and occasionally I think a soul isn't enlightened enough that it might be able to cross over and finally leave this whole mess.
Yeah.
You know, and go on. But for the average, everyday 7.33 billion people, it just doesn't happen. They just can't figure it out. They're going to have to die and come back here countless times. That I don't even want to think about. It's kind of sad. Go ahead. I didn't mean to touch on.
No, that totally, that last point there was totally hit home for sure, you know.
Well, you know, I don't rule anything out because doing this as long as I have, and I, of course, currently 55,000-60,000 members. I'd actually have to go look it up and see for sure. Over 50,000 abduction cases investigated. Thanks to my last two appearances on Ancient Aliens, we've probably added another 10,000 or 12,000 cases. There's a couple of problems with it, though. One, I noticed I've actually asked these people if they would like to go on like Ancient Aliens and speak about their experiences. Most people just don't want to have nothing to do with it. They don't mind talking to me, or maybe even you or anybody else, but they don't want to take it to the point that it affects their lives or their families, which I can truly understand that. You know, I own my own business, so I can get away with talking about a lot of crazy stuff. And my customers, they don't really care. As long as they're getting a good price, they don't really care. They just think, oh, my contractor's nuts. Which is, most contractors are supposed to be nuts anyway, so it's not even a thing. Okay. We're like bartenders or doctors. We're supposed to be crazy. But it affords me to do a lot more that a lot of people can't do because they got, because a long time ago, and I've told this story 100 times, but a long time ago, we're talking almost 30 years. I was working as a general manager for McDonald's. And let me tell you what, we're talking 30 years. They were paying me $88K a year plus bonus. I tell you, when people don't think McDonald's pays, don't let them lie to you. If you're assistant or up, that you're making the bucks, people. I'm just telling you ahead of time. I can't tell you what the hamburger flippers are making, but if you're assistant above, even assistants make 30, 35 a year, maybe 40. So, but anyway, bringing it brought it up is somebody had asked me a question about Jesus one night. And I said, it's possible, because I am religious. I said, it's possible that what we consider to be Jesus was simply an alien that stopped by and visited the planet. Because everything they mention as miracles in the Bible today, the aliens can reproduce. So they're not really miracles if another race can reproduce them. They're just advanced technologies. I mean, they can walk on water. They can wave their hands and feed the multitudes. They can cure people with just a thought. Does that make them gods? Hell no, it don't. It makes them damn extraterrestrials. But still, that was enough. That one statement was enough. It cost me my job. They didn't tell me that's what they fired me over, but this is how you know. I had just gotten a raise 4 days earlier. I was running one of the top three McDonald's in the country. Damn thing made $3 million a month 30 years ago.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, and this was right after this happened, I get a phone call and they say, well, Joe, we're going to let you go. We're going to give you full severance. We'll give you excellent references. Anybody who calls will give you an excellent reference, and we're going to give you a severance package and the whole nine yards and pay you for the next couple of months. Never gave me a reason why they let me go, ever.
Wow.
And he said, if you want to collect unemployment, we won't contest it, which I didn't because I went back to work, but another company grabbed me up. But yeah. That was an eye-opening experience for me because I wasn't even really in the field at the time. It was just a conversation between two people. And obviously, I offended someone or hurt someone's sensibilities or feelings, and it cost me my damn job. And but because of that, I went into business for myself and told everybody to kiss my ass. So now I could do what I want. But still, I mean, everyday people still have to deal with that. I mean, they still have to worry about if they come forward, or if they go public, or if they go on a TV show like Ancient Aliens or one of the other TV shows, that their boss might see him, or their husband might see him, or their wife might see him, or their kids might see him. Somebody might see him, and it might just ruin their lives. So I understand wanting to keep it to yourself. What always bothers me about all of this is, for the most part, I get a lot of peace, love, and light, or doom and gloom. There's not much middle ground. Even though that's probably where the 90% of the information is that we need to get to is in the middle, there's just not much of it. Most of the people, and this is what happens, because there are good experiences and there are bad experiences. But the real problem is we can only identify an experience by what we understand. In other words, in case you haven't noticed, humans, you can never see a face in a dream that you've never seen before. Just in case you didn't know that. What happens is that the mind can squeeze some shit together, but it's still something you've seen before. So the same thing comes with the extraterrestrial. Ow, sorry. Whoop. Hold on, guys. Sorry about that, guys. Now I lost my – I ripped my whole damn microphone. I tried to rip my ear along with it. What the hell was I saying before I got destructive?
You said the reason why people can't see aliens is because they have a memory that interferes, or they
– Oh, no. But anyway, we'll talk about that too. But E.T. has got – when – they look at us, okay, first off, they came here how many ever years ago it was. And then they did whatever they originally did, and then we came today. But like what I was saying is, you got the people with the really peace, love, and light experiences, and of course with the people with the bad, and then we were talking about the middle. But what happens here is, because humans can only identify things by what they understand or what they've seen or what they've been taught or raised, it taints what they see. Because a good chunk of everything they see, whether it's enlightened or not, is beyond their understanding. They just can't. I mean, so for them, it's like this event, whether it's a good or a bad event. It's just this, and really for the aliens, it's not. It's just something they're doing or teaching or showing you. And there's a lot of teaching and showing that gets done. But But like when you hear people talk about the environment, let me tell you what, the aliens don't care about our environment. They can fix our planet in a heartbeat. They don't care if we nuke ourselves. We could, and if you don't believe me, look at Fukushima. Look at World War II. They never stopped any of our nuclear bomb drops. They've never stopped any earthquakes. They never stopped any Chernobyl or Fukushima or any of that stuff. Three Mile Island. So obviously they're not willing to interfere at that level because actions do speak louder than words. So they're not interfering at that level. They're like, no, 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 humans. If you wipe the planet out, we'll clean it up. But your ass is gone. You don't gave up ownership if you wipe it out. So they want us to survive. This is what people understand. They really, truly want us to survive. And probably in a billion years or half a billion or 200 million, they probably want us to join their galactic consciousness. And probably in 400,000 or 500,000 years or even sooner, they might want us to, maybe in a few thousand, they might want us to join the galactic community. But people, we're not going anywhere until the planet unites. They're not letting us off this rock until we become one planet. You can forget it. We're not leaving our solar system until that happens. I don't care what we invent or what goes on. There'll always be some disaster, some accident, or some bullshit because they're not letting us out this solar system until we can be trusted. They're not going to let a planet that has nuclear weapons, and by the time we figure out space travel, we'll have antimatter weapons. So I can understand them not wanting to let us loose until we're a united planet that's fixed its problems, feed its hungry, clothed its clothless, homed the homeless, and so on. You know, and then at that point, they'll probably say, you know what? All right, let's give them a shot. But right now, to them, we're a chaotic, insane bunch of monkeys running around half educated. You got to look at it from their point of view. When they look at us, we are. I mean, we're vicious. Even the best person on this planet has a mean streak in them. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of that is made because of what our government and our media and all have become today. It's building mean streaks in our citizens, not just ours, the global civilization. So here's an advanced race or several advanced races looking at us going, are they going to make it through the next 100 years or the next 500 years or the next 1,000? Because really and truly right now, with Russia and China and the United States poised to where they are, and Europe's now talking about getting its own army, we're in a shithole. We're looking to die. You know, we could have disarmed our country, all our countries years ago. We don't want to do that. Because if America gets rid of its nukes, somebody's going to attack us. And if Russia gets rid of its nukes, somebody's going to attack them. Same thing with China.
Yep.
So now we're still at assured mutual destruction. So why would an alien race even want to share a consciousness with a species like this? And let me tell y'all, people, E.T. blames you. You the people. You control the planet. They don't blame the idiot that goes out there and hoards the ego or wants the money. They blame you for allowing it to happen. Because the only thing that can ever change this world is us. The government's not going to do it. I mean, just look at any government on the planet right now. Oh, Russia's going to come to our aid. China's going to come to our aid. Trump or Hillary's going to come to our aid. I don't think so. I don't want to discriminate against Republicans or Democrats. That's why I said Trump and Hillary. Because you never know who it's going to be in 2020. If E.T. wanted to interfere, the first thing they would have done was wipe out the last four presidents. That's wrong on many levels, Glenda. I'm just saying. That's just wrong on many levels.
So you feel that many of the ET species or whatever, consciousness is at a different level of integrity than the average human, and thus they can see all the causes of our problems here?
They can see a lot of that. What it is, I think, more than that is I think they understand it because, like with the reptilians and humans, they've definitely been where we are. The grays are hard to get information about other than they're very advanced and they've been around a long time and they're basically the galactic policemen. They kind of work for the light beings and the galactic council as, you don't screw with us, we the baddest aliens in the universe except for the light beings. And so everybody kind of just – well, in the beginning, I thought like it's everybody else, the grays work for everybody. And then we found that, oh, no, the grays are the ones with the real power, with the organic spacecraft. And so, you know, when you find these things out, they're always eye-opening, you know. But still, the more information that we get, the more we understand. We actually know now that abductions start pre-birth. They probably started in your family line a million years ago, a half million years ago, 100,000 years ago, whenever they decided to start this, and they've been abducting everybody in your family ever since. And I mean everybody in your family, grandkids, great-grandkids, and so on, everybody. And what they do is they take you your whole life, unless it comes to a point where you're not useful anymore. You, mentally or physically, you might not – there might come a time in your life, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s, where they don't consider you useful, at that time they will stop taking you. But now, of course, if you have children, they're going to come take your children and their children and so on and so forth. And then again, they might not ever stop taking you. If you become a keeper or you work with them, they may always take you. So it's one of them things. They want to educate a lot, but the biggest problem is just there's too much mishmash. If you get into the field, you've got this crazy saying that, that crazy saying this crazy saying that, and there's too many individuals and not enough groups. See, we're actually a decent sized group, but still, even for us, we stay away from the field. And in the beginning, I didn't. I was all involved in it, but I don't even interview as many ufologists anymore because I find most of them are just full of crap. And most of them are in it for their 15 minutes of fame and whatever little money they can get out of it.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's good people out there and there's real people trying. But when you see these people who just run around from conference to conference or just setting up conference, they're not in it for anything but the money and the little bit of fame they can get. They're little roadies and groupies. Somebody said, well, you should go on more tours. It was funny because I remember the first time I was ever asked to speak. It was like 15, 16 years ago. It was and I went to the conference and the guy said, well, this should be a thrill for you. I said, dude, this is like going backwards for me. He's like, what do you mean? I said, my radio show does 1 million listeners a night. This is like going backwards. I said, what is it? 200 people here, man? 300 people? I'm like, I said, sometimes I got chat rooms bigger than that, you know? So it made it a little harder for me. A lot of these people who had just been on tour speaking and making their little 1,000, 15, 18, 2,500, unless you're like George Norrie or somebody, you're probably getting about 5,500 a trip, maybe 7,500. But, you know, some of the other people in the field, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500. But I mean, if you're doing it 3-4 times a month or even 1 or 2 times a month, you're making a decent living. The problem is not all the conferences are like that. I don't know. It's just a mess, and it shouldn't be like that. And that's another reason. I mean, ET's watching all this go on. It's one of the reasons I titled the show that. Why in the hell would they want to even mess with us? I mean, they came here when we were still monkeys or whatever the hell you want to call us. And, yeah. You know, we were nothing. Well, the light beings, the human aliens came here first, and then the reptilians followed. But a lot of people think the reptilians were here 60, 70 million years ago when the planet went fooey. They don't think they were native, but they think they were here.
Like for example, Atlantis, or there's a lot of stories of Osiris and Horus and all these different god beings or whatnot. Do you find that some of this may have some legitimacy in terms of—
Some of it does. There are hieroglyphs from the Egyptian world that show, well, basically UFOs and little grays. But that started about 2,500 years ago. But before that, you find lots of— and this is what's interesting about this. You'll find a lot of common creation themes involved the reptilians, including the Bible. Somebody said, well, no, the Christians don't do it. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, did you ever remember Adam and Eve, the serpent in the tree? I said, you don't remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden? And they're like, oh, shit, yeah, it's a reptilian. I said, even our own Bible stories have it in it. Because like the Mesoamericans and even the a lot of the Middle Easterners, the reptilians were like the bearers of life, the bringers of good. They weren't the evil. The evil were the human deities that came here looking with dog heads or bird heads or this, that, or the other thing. They were the evil ones. The reptilians weren't. And even the Dogon talk about it in great detail. Sumerians talk about it. So even the Mesoamericans talk about it. So what happened at the time of Christ, that flip-flop? Before Christ, reptilians were revered on this planet and worshipped and even sacrificed to. Christ came, and then that all stopped, and now we revere the human aliens, which are supposed to be the evil ones, based on what? I don't even know why it changed. But it did. But you can see it in the writings, our own history. And it's one of the things I tell people when they ask me how to get in ufology. First thing I tell them is you should always start in the ancient world and work your way forward. Because there's a lot of stuff in the ancient world that you just got to go, what the hell were they seeing? What was, you know, it's like modern London. On at least a dozen occasions, at least 50 pieces of artwork, they got shit flying around London 500 years ago. Well, they didn't even have balloons 500 years ago. So what the hell was flying around? It wasn't birds.
Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, so these kind of things help people to get started. And it also helps us to understand that there's a direction, a movement, and a madness to what these aliens do. We do know they lie a lot. We also know that humans misconceive a lot. And it's like the human aliens. The human aliens are only portrayed two ways, either peace, love, and light, or just vicious, mean asses.
Like a narcissist? Like, like a lot of people say some extreme narcissists seem to have demonic thought systems or behaviors or
they
whatever.
Might. It could be, but like, but their thoughts not so much demonic as it is
unaware, ignorant, or you know whatever. I
mean, they just look at, well, for them, it's like when they do something to us, like when they remove a body part or test our mental abilities or really push a human to the breaking point. They're not thinking they're doing any harm to us. It's the same thing if you were running your pet on a treadmill or something. They don't look at it any different than that. Matter of fact, the Greys really kind of think of us as pets. They don't even consider us to be full-blown sanctioned species yet. Something intelligent we don't recognize yet. And so they consider us a subspecies. The reptilians consider us family because they share their DNA. Anytime they abduct people, any shared DNA with any contactee from them also gets genetic memory. So they actually consider the contactees to be family and treat them accordingly, which sometimes is good, sometimes is bad. The human aliens, on the other hand, like I said, either like the human or hate the human. It doesn't seem they treat most of their abductees like their trash cousins or something, because there is a relationship between those, well, probably all three races now. But and something that we broke loose a couple of years ago, you know, when we started looking in to who was being taken, we learned some interesting stuff. One, that over 60% of the people being taken had Rh negative blood. Also, almost 50% of the people taken had blue or green eyes. Well, that's significant because the two eyes combined only make up 4% of the world's eye color. I think it's 96 or 97% of the world is brown-eyed, in case y'all know that, people.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's significant. On top of that, only 15% of the world possesses Rh negative blood, but yet almost 70% of contactees do. So why are they so interested in this? More than likely, they created this. They probably, when the Sumerians say they created a slave race, then the reptilians came in and interbred with the slave race, which created a race almost like the one that's here today. And then, of course, the Greys got involved with their DNA, but we became a sentient species. So I think they're kind of stuck now with what they can do with us. They're like, shit, these things have become sentient, these little monkey things we had running around digging mines for us and stuff. It's like when your monkey gets really, really smart. You're like, wow, what happened here? We just got a lot to learn, and I really think, and I say this all the time, I really think they want to see us survive. I think because now we share all three of their DNAs. Since the abductions started, you know, first the humans created us, the reptilians intervened, so we had both their DNAs running wild, and then here comes the Greys later on. The Greys weren't here in the beginning. I think the Greys were sent here because I think the reptilians and humans were fixing to get into a damn war over Earth. So they were probably sent here to calm it down, because in the very beginning it seemed like most abductions were happening between reptilians and humans, but in today's world, it seems to be about 60-65% of abductions are done by the Greys, and the reptilians and humans split the rest. But the big thing is, and people never think about this, so a million years, we'll say 100,000 years ago, a reptilian abducted somebody, a human abducted somebody, and a Grey abducted somebody. Now, they've been going along. Well, somewhere along the line, the human contactee slept with the reptilian contactee, and they had children. That child slept with a reptilian, with a Grey contactee, and they had children. Well, each children is an upgrade because now they have more and more of the alien DNA. They're backbreeding it, and they're breeding across all three species. So I think in the long run, in the very long run, I think this is another reason these aliens pay so much attention to us, is eventually we will surpass them because we have part of them in us. I think they've given us, especially the Greys, I think they've given us the ability to surpass. I mean, we're talking millions of years, mind you, but I think – because, you know, they think of things different than we do. We got a little short 100-year, 80-year lifespans. They got, you know, 100-million-year lifespans. Well, basically, they got endless lifespans because they just upload their consciousness into a new body. All of the races, dude. So, you know, they live as long unless something happens or, you know, accident happens, they get killed somewhere. But for the most part, they have endless lifetime. Do you know what you can learn in an endless lifetime? So for them, it's different. And I've said this before, but the Grey that probably abducted your great-grandfather 1,000 years ago is probably the same Grey abducting your family today. It's probably the same damn alien, that they have long lifespans. So it makes it kind of freaky. It makes it kind of weird. But it does put a different spin on how this works, because I-Corp was the ones that broke the blood type study. We're the ones that realized that these contactees were all interbreeding with each other. So what happens when a gray contactee, a human contactee, a reptilian contactee all breed together and have children? Which alien gets to abduct them? Do the grays take them? Do the reptilians take them? Do the humans take them? Who gets priority? Oh, because, you know, they can't all be taken. You can't have three different races taken. You make you fucking crazy. Excuse my language. But it would. It'd make you crazy. So, you know, usually there's a priority. And from time to time, the grays have been known to go remove their contactees from another alien race or from a military abduction. They don't like their contactees being screwed with. So they don't mind screwing with them themselves, but they don't want you screwing with them. Same thing with the human contactees, too. The ones they want to be protective over is the ones they're protective over. But this is a long-term program. It's probably going to be here for another millennials, hundreds of millennials. They're going to be in the dust until we became either there's an accident that we find out they're here, or we become enlightened enough that they feel like that they can tell us they're here. And for the most part, and this is what's really weird about this, ET really doesn't hide their cells. I mean, they do take memories away from people because that's mainly because the person can't handle a memory, not because they want to. They fly all over our planet, seem to go unchecked. I don't think they really care if anybody knows. I think they're here to abduct and mess with the families they're here to mess with. And as far as the rest of the world goes, I don't think they care if you know if you don't know. Because really, if you're not part of the program, you're just dead weight to them. You got to remember how they look at – and that's something else that people don't understand. They don't look at the overall species. They look at the contactees. The species for them is not anything of any consequence. In other words, if all of a sudden two-thirds of our species disappeared, they wouldn't have a problem with it. Not the species that are here today. They wouldn't even have a problem with it. They would probably think it was a good cleansing, something that needed to happen. Yeah. And so humans have to remember that. I mean, we're just not to where they are, you know. And if we can get our shit together and maybe, you know, figure out some way how to make this one big happy planet. I mean, Europe was trying it, but even the EU's falling apart now. I guess America could conquer the Americas, and that would be just one big country. And I don't know if there's a way to unite the world peacefully, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Apparently we're living in a world of duality, which by its very nature is at opposites with one extreme to another, and there's like some polarization, you know, the light workers.
Because we gotta choose where we're going, and nobody wants to choose. Yeah. You got light workers out there doing light work, you got dark workers out there doing dark work, but it's like it's balanced off. It's not, they're canceling each other out. Nobody wants to choose. As a species, right now, we're content to just be dribbling along the way we are. You know, most people on the planet are happy. Now, I mean, out of the 7 billion, about 5 billion or more. I don't want to say everybody, but this is the most peaceful our planet has ever been in its history. There are less people dying from war today than ever in history before. Technically, the United States isn't even at war with anybody. And Trump's not like Obama. He don't indiscriminately kill people with drones. So there's just the violence, the amount of people being killed around the world has dropped by military and by governments. But it hasn't gone down because the citizens now have stepped in and started doing stupid shit like shooting up schools, blowing up this, blowing up that. So they're balancing it out. It's almost like those lives had to go no matter what. So when a government backed off, the citizens tended to pick up. And I'm not talking about just here, I'm talking about everywhere on the planet. I mean, there are a few places that seem to be relatively peaceful, but none of the civilized world is, which it should be by saying that, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be a mess right now. And you know what? One visit from ET could stop this. One big showing of one of the big freaking motherships over our planet, this planet would be united tomorrow morning. Russia would have already called Trump, and Trump would have called Ping, and they'd have sat down and figured out some kind of deal. And the planet would have been united. They would have called the EU and said, this is how it's going to be. And we're going to unite the planet now. But that takes me back to an old, what was that TV show? Twilight Zone. There's an episode of Twilight Zone. Oh, no, it wasn't Twilight Zone. Sorry, it was a little movie, actually. Anyway, long story short, these aliens came to Earth. So the UN got together and drafted a peace treaty and got together and united the world. And the next day, the aliens killed everybody on Earth because they didn't put us here to be peaceful. They put us here because we were warrior-like, and they wanted to see what kind of brutal thing we could develop for fighting for them in the future. So since
yeah,
we failed,
I think I read the story about that. Yeah.
That was a crazy movie, and I didn't expect it to end like that when I was watching it, but it was the way it ended. They're like, oh, no, sorry, that's not what we wanted. We didn't want y'all to be peaceful. What the hell's wrong with you humans?
It was an Outer Limits episode
I think it was an Outer Limits, actually, but it was way back in the day. We shouldn't even be talking about this. People know how old we are. they're like, what the hell episode? Outer? What? What's an Outer? Outer? What? No, I never heard of that. Look, youngins, Outer Limits was cool. It scared the bejesus out of a lot of y'all. But it's things like that because you never know. I mean, we don't really know the nature of the universe. All we know is the universe seems to be alive and it seems to create and destroy on a daily basis. And I'm talking about life and everything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may look at us differently. It may think that the survival of the fittest. So humans got away from that because we're intelligent and it shouldn't be like that. But we don't know if that's not how the universe wants it to be. In other words, you can still be kind and loving and people and everything, but, you know, the universe may consider that some things are survival of the fittest. You know, why breed something into your society that's going to harm it instead of help it? The thing that scares me about that, anytime you start talking about breeding anything, I get scared. I'm like, next thing we know, we have super crazy people running around on a planet. It's like the people who call me with super soldiers. And this is the truth about this. If super soldiers were real, Putin would be dead. Ping would be dead. Trump would probably be dead. Obama would have probably been dead. Anybody who has this kind of ability that they have telekinesis, I mean, a thought will kill you. All you got to do is think about closing someone's artery in their brain and they die, or they have an aneurysm or whatever. Get brain damage. It doesn't matter, but you win because they're no longer going to be in the picture anymore.
Yeah.
So if you had someone with those kind of abilities, then they would be getting used. Problem is, they're not getting used. When you listen to people talk about super soldiers, you got to be like, and where are they? Why aren't they being used on our planet anywhere? Really? And then the next thing is, oh, we're fighting wars off world bullshit. You ain't no aliens letting us go off world fight no wars.
There was a fellow a while ago in a Project Pegasus. I forget his name. Some Italian fellow who says there's stations on the moon and we're all fighting up there, fighting aliens and all sorts of stuff.
And the thing about it is you would see those weapons at night.
Yeah.
You know, people say stuff and I'm thinking, did you not think about what you just said? I mean, you're talking about, you know, laser beams and laser weapons on a moon being shot at each other. Shit, yeah, that's going to light up the skies at night. You'll have auroras and weird colors flashing. You don't see none of that around the moon. And well, it's on the dark side. Of course it's on the dark side because nobody can see it. And it's always that way when it comes to this stuff. It's never up front. You know, so you always got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to be, sure. But super soldiers is something that would have got used on our planet a long time ago, especially if the Americans had built them well in advance, like they say, they would be using them. It's like Ed Deems and the remote viewers. The government shut down the remote viewing project because it simply wasn't a good project. It's not that they couldn't see things. They could. They could see like missile launches in a particular area, but they couldn't tell you the code. They couldn't even tell you the address where it was. But a telepath can. A telepath can see through someone else's eyes. So if they're in someone, you know, they can whatever code they're seeing it. They can type the code down. They can tell you where they are. They can read the newspaper on the desk. And so that's why the government's dropped the remote viewing program. And the U.S. government, the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, I think it was in 2002 or 2004, formally announced the start of a covert telepathic program for both of them. Now, if that means if they told us about it, you know, it's been going on for like 2 decades, but we're always the last to know anything when it comes to the government.
Yeah.
But they did officially announce it, which was odd. Just like when Boeing came out and announced about working on anti-gravity drives and fission power. And I was like, wow, okay. Or fusion power. I always get the two confused for some reason. But cold fusion is what – and they said they would have it within 10 years. That's like 2 years from now. They said by 2025, they'll have a reactor big enough that it'll fit into a semi-rig that could supply the power for all of New York City. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering what kind of bombs they can build out of it.
Let me add to that. About 15 years ago, I went to visit a particular workshop, and this fellow there was involved in the intelligence community in the U.S. And he told me 15 years ago that they have something called a black cube, and it's the size of like, I don't know, maybe a carton of cigarettes, maybe like a little bigger than that. And they said that little cube there can power a whole city for a month. That little cube.
Yeah,
and that was
50 years ago. Yeah, that's actually supposed to be antimatter. I know what you're talking about. This is cold fusion antimatter, two different things. But antimatter, they swear we can only contain it for like 10 milliseconds. It used to only be like 0.2 milliseconds. But that's what they were talking about. They put it in this cube. And as it decayed inside the cube was put in a box that sent out power to transformers and stuff. And they said it could, you could, 1 gram could probably power New York City for a couple of months. And of course, a gram of antimatter could probably destroy New York City in an instant too. I'm not sure how they're going to do that. I know matter and antimatter can't come in contact with each other because it's going to make a big boom. And the more of it, the bigger the boom. So I'm not sure how they're learning how to contain it. So eventually they'll learn how to contain it and use it. But between that and cold fusion, I mean, our power issues will be gone. They're saying by 2030, they'll have cold fusion reactors about the size of basketballs that'll power your house, your car, and you'll just buy them and that's it. There won't be any other payment. There won't be no charge for producing power because it produces power on its own. You don't have to do that. So it changes the world in major ways. If power is not an issue anymore, man, we'll have flying cars. Well, all kinds of cool shit. The biggest problem with flying cars today is just the power. Yeah.
As long as it's not hoarded by the technocrats, then.
I think it has. I think that's what's been going on for the last 20 years. It has been hoarded. But Boeing and them are starting to see that other countries and other places are starting to work on this. So they've been doing it for a long time. So eventually they'll make sure they release it ahead of time. That way they get bigger chances to make money off of it. Because initially these reactors are going to be really expensive, but like anything else, like the first, in case we all notice people, but the first Texas Instrument calculator, which was huge, by the way, is like the size of a stereo, was $5,500. That's what it cost, $5,500. Today, we all know a calculator, you can get the damn thing the size of your credit card and cost $2 and do far more than that thing that Texas Instrument built 20 years ago or 30 years ago. God help us now. We got our cell phones. It does pretty much everything. I'm waiting for it to come out with a butt wiping app next. Damn phones do everything. You say. Matter of fact, I'm watching some show the other night. I'm always looking for gadgets for my phone for work. They got this new thing you put on your phone and it X-rays the wall so you can see what's in them, pipes, and boards, and all kind of shit in real time. I was like,
yeah,
that's cool tech, and it's not radioactive or radiation or anything. It's just cool tech. I think it works off of radio waves or something, but. You know, these kind of things were moving fast. You know, pretty soon, 100 years from now, your phone will probably be able to save you from a heart attack. It'll probably have a defibrillator built into it or something. Or it'll be where it can monitor you 24/7 and know what's going on. They're saying, the AMA was talking about, it was one of the tech companies, and they said they figured within 100 years, almost all diseases on this planet will be cured. And that a lot of stuff will be able to be cured almost instantly. New technologies. I mean, we're talking about nanite technology, things like little machines that can go in and rebuild their body. We're talking about gene therapy, where we use our own genes to cure cancer and stuff. We're going the right direction. And you can't think that we might not have a little intervention outside from some help. But it's like when people talk about microchip versus vacuum tubes. A lot of people always ask me, it's E.T., we can prove E.T. was here because of the microchip. Because, before the microchip, before solid state technology, ladies and gentlemen, we used vacuum tubes. Big, bulky, nasty, heated up tubes that, man, in your stereo or your TV, these bitches, you'd hear them humming and stuff when you'd start it up. It was crazy. And then, so we had that. So someone said, how do we go from that to a little one-by-one microchip? Good question. But is it alien technology? It could be. I mean, there was some stuff at Roswell that you could say was a microchip. But also, you have to remember that the microchip and the tube have something in common. It's called silicon. They're both made from the same substance. So it's not really that big of a leap.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, oh, it's a huge leap. No, not really. We just figured out how to shrink that tube down to a little bitty, you know, board. But it's not so much the big leap that we thought it was. I was with y'all in the beginning, and then one day I joined the Navy and became an expert in electronics. Actually, I was an advanced avionics electronics technician for the USS Nimitz. And I learned how all this shit worked. And I'm like, well, wait, we wrong. What the hell? So when you really understand how things work, a lot of times it changes your preference or your point of view on the universe as well. And ET just, you know, looks at us like, hey, we got our programs running with y'all. We've been running them a long time. We're tracking your family lines. We're watching y'all. Your abilities come out in so many ways. It's also like when someone says everyone has psychic abilities, that's the biggest load of crap I ever heard. And I can disprove that at any time. I was at a conference about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and someone said that. And I'm like, really? I can prove that you're wrong. And they're like, no, you can't. I said, there's 100 people in this room. I said, anybody want to get tested? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, yeah, you can test for psychic abilities. You can test for empathic abilities, for telepathic abilities, for telekinesis. Mm-hmm. I said, telekinesis is easy. Just make someone move something in front of you. Of course, nobody in the room could do that. I said, telepathy. I said, I'm going to write five different things down on five different pieces of paper. I'm going to hand them to random people in the room. And I want the rest of y'all to try to figure out what's on that paper. I said, because if you were a telepath, you would know. It wouldn't be telling me, oh, I see a J or something. No, you would know what was on the paper. Or, you know, a lot of times we do simple stuff like colors. You know, I'm going to put out this color to these people, you know. So you're guessing. Now, if it's 10 colors, it's 1 in 10 chances. But a lot of people, the good ones, will tell you, oh, well, he's holding green, she's holding yellow, he's holding red. Okay, now they have somebody with ability. But everybody else in that room couldn't. They couldn't even come close. They couldn't even get 50-50. So there's no way they have any type of psychic ability.
Well, it makes sense that I guess some people are sort of thinking, oh, we have the potential, and because we hypothetically have the potential, we have the ability. But
one of the things that ETs are using. I think that's one of the things that one of the reasons they either keep you or put you back is based on how good your telepathic empathic abilities are. Because for them, that's the only way they communicate with us. So if they're always communicating you, you're like, oh, well, I'm Bob, and could you say that? No, they don't want to hear that. So they're going to put you aside, so you're not useful to their programs.
Sure.
But they want that. You know, they want us to understand. They really want us, for the most part, to be part of this, and they would really like us to be a willing part of it. But frankly, some of the stuff that goes on between puberty and 28. Nobody wants to remember that crap. I mean, they put us through the ringer there. They're doing all kind of breeding experiments, emotional experiments. And then for some reason you hit 30, it all changes. They quit with those experiments. They're no longer doing what we would consider hostile experience pretty much after the age of 35. It's mostly just visiting a ship, helping them working with the children, helping working with the other people on board the craft. From time to time being updated or learning new different things that you could maybe useful for you or your family.
Sure.
Because all three of the races believe that if they teach in you, that it gets passed along. Even if it's telepathically, it gets passed along. So that's why they think each generation of children are getting smarter, brighter, and faster. And there is a segment in the United States, about a 15% segment, which coincidentally is about what the amount of alien abductees are that are brighter, faster, and smarter. And we interviewed quite a few of those parents, and those parents said they were contactees outright. So, I mean, we could only get hold of about 50 of them because nobody else wanted to even bother. They're like, and even that was pushing it. But we got hold to a guy who was working with him, and he put us in, you know, he had talked with a bunch of other people before we contacted him to let them know we were going to be contacting them. And some people wanted to work with us, and some of them were like, no. I will tell you that, yeah, I believe in that, but I don't want to talk to you anymore. Bye. Click. End of that conversation.
Yeah.
And then someone wanted to tell us about their family lines and how their mother and grandmother and great-grandmother had these things that happened to them. And so you get it. It's a mixed bag of tricks, but it's every piece of the puzzle helps. Every piece of the puzzle helps.
Really,
why am I called infamous? Chris, what do you mean, why am I called infamous? Infamous means bad. Joe's bad. Yeah, I'm infamous because you never know what the hell I'm going to do, and I don't mind kicking someone's ass to prove a point. No, because when you're in this field, you can't just let people just go on ranting and raving about stupid shit. They have no idea what they understand.
Sure.
Do evidence-based research. In the end, it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. Because ET's going to come down one day and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is how we're doing it. And then y'all can judge all you want. Well, this guy, well, he was closer. She was closer. None of these idiots knew anything about what was going on. They all had it wrong. We just don't know. Because being human, we do make mistakes. But we really, we just really have a hard time taking this to the next level. Most humans would just not remember it. That's why only probably 3 or 4% may remember their contact, maybe 5 if we're lucky, but I don't really think it's 2 or 3% remember the contact. The rest of them never. 98 or 97% of all abductees never remember being taken, not even one time. They might have this weird feeling sometimes that, you know, what's that weird, creepy feeling, but they don't remember anything. You could even regress them, then nothing would probably come out. But there are 3 or 4% that for some reason show the aliens that they're interested in learning and understanding. And the aliens seem to be particularly interested in those people. They'll bring them on board, let them, you know, offer them different things. It's like the training centers where you can upload, well, you can upload your consciousness into a body, but that's not what I was talking about. They, when you're on board the craft, the big craft, not the little scout ships and fighters and stuff, but when you're on board the motherships, you have the ability to log into their mainframes. It becomes a storage space for your brain. There's so much going on board these craft, and you're learning so much information at such a high pace that the human brain can't handle it. And so they give you this space so that you can root through it and take your time, and from time to time you can download it to your consciousness and understand it more at a time, or they can download it either way. But it helps you. But the problem is when you leave the ship, 80% of the information you learn stays on the ship. And some people say it's over to protect aliens. It's not to, it's to protect you. You came down here with that much knowledge zipping around in your head, you'd lose your mind. You wouldn't even know what to do with yourself. You'd be bouncing off of walls because you'd be so far beyond anything around you. So that stuff stays on board. When you're on board ship, you can use that and enjoy that and do whatever you're doing with it. And when you're not, you're down here dealing with the mundane everyday thing. What do you mean down here? Oh, you mean it sounds like religion when I say up there and down here? Well, I'm just talking about space versus Earth. But it's got
to be ET. With Dr. Fred Bell before he passed. You know who that is?
Actually, the name sounds really familiar. And if he was in the field, probably yes. Because, I mean, I've been doing this for, like I said, I've been doing radio for 18 years. I've been in the field for 35. So there's not many people I haven't talked to. My problem is I've talked to so many, I forget who half of them are now. But one good thing about it is if it was useful information, it stays retained somewhere in my head. So that's a plus. Yeah. You know, so I can go back and go through and say, oh, that sounds good, or she sounds good, or that information sounds good. And I've talked to a lot of contactees, and I know a lot of them are looking for stuff that I would like to offer them or help them with. And, you know, I don't mind helping people through different things that are going on or understanding their contact or moving forward or looking at pictures and stuff like that. But I want people to understand, you know, there's only so much anybody can do. If ET wants you, there's nothing you can do about it. You can pray. You can invoke the name of Christ. You can do whatever the hell you want. It's not going to stop that abduction. And a lady said, well, why don't you think Christ would interfere? I said, because it's one of his creations. And she just looked at me like, no, that's the devil. I said, no, that's not the devil. That's an alien race that lives in our universe, which was created by the creator. Whoever it or she is or what it is, it created everything in his universe. So therefore, it created the aliens. So why would it choose a side? And this bothers religious people bad. They're like, well, what do you mean choose a side? I said, well, I mean, you know, they've been around longer. They understand longer. They're nicer. They love their gods. They, you know, they worship their people and take care of them. They don't murder them and kill them and abort them. And I said, why wouldn't they, you know, want to share? It confuses people, but it's something that you got to deal with. It's part of the field. Who sent me that? Jessica. What's that? Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. ET came here because – okay, we'll go do a real quick backflash real fast. Sometime in our past, more than likely at some point in our past, 60, 70 million years ago, the reptilians were living here. Reptilians are four or five – well, depending on who you want to believe, 500 million to 700 million years old. Too old to have come from Earth. Actually, Callie and I have talked about this in great detail on the show. And well, I mean, if you push life back to a billion, no, it's not. But where current things are on our planet right now, they're too old for this planet. But we also know that they inhabit the Draco system and several other systems. It's only one reptilian race. Some of them have wings. Some of them have gills. but it's still the same race. They're all one species. They all come from the same place. They live on different worlds, different round. They've got, you know, home world. I mean, they've got one home world. They've got colony worlds all over the place. And when I mean colony worlds, I'm talking full blown worlds. Just billions of people living there, or billions of reptilians, whatever you want to say. But they're there. And the thing of it is, so they were here. Something happened. A lot of people think there was a war that went on. And it's what destroyed the solar system. They think that the planet between Mars and Earth was a planet and was destroyed. It might have been Nibiru. Because Nibiru is supposed to be five times the size of Earth, and that debris field is about five times the size of Earth if you put it back together. So anyway, something happened, but at the same time, the asteroid got destroyed, or the planet got destroyed, Earth went catastrophic, Mars went catastrophic, and Venus did, all around 50 to 60 million years ago. We don't know exact date because we haven't got to the other worlds. But we know it was roughly in the same time frame, galactically. So there could have been a war. It might have blown up that planet. And come on, I mean, look at Phobos and what's the other one, the Martian moons. They're not moons, they're asteroids. They just got caught by its orbit. And we can see where one huge asteroid smashed in the side of it, just like here. So it's a good chance that something happened. Maybe Nibiru was passing through and Jupiter caught it and broke it up and sent shit flying. Or maybe there was an alien war and one other species blew the shit out of the planet. Who knows for sure? But something happened that made all these planets go crazy. But the reason I bring it up is everyone left for a long time. Long time. Dinosaurs died out. Some kind of subspecies started of us. Some little subspecies, whether it was monkeys or not, I want to argue that. But some subspecies of us started. And then stage left, the human aliens come to this planet and realize, wow, the planet's back intact. It's inhabitable. Let's go ahead and start colonizing, or not so much colonizing, but let's start farming the planet. Well, the human aliens that come here are not native to Earth. They don't breathe our atmosphere. So they used to wear suits, and then they built a dome city to live in. Actually, they built two dome cities to live in. Then they created their own self. They recreated their own species into a species that could breathe the atmosphere here. So that species started taking on the mining of the planet. And for some reason, a couple thousand years passed, and that species decided, what the hell are we doing this for? We're the same species as them. We're just zop-nipping them. They're sitting up there, you know, with their in their cities, getting all of us. We're doing all the work. What the hell? So they created what the Sumerians call the seven creations of man, with the last creation being the closest thing to humans today. That species could do things like procreate, plow the fields. They knew how to make bead and meal. They never asked why they were here. They sounded a lot like Adam and Eve. They were naive, and they really weren't self-aware in what we understand self-aware. They never challenged who they were or even wanted to know why they were doing these things. Then stage left enters the reptilians. Same Adam and Eve story. Reptilians enter. They start stealing the women from the Sumerians. They start breeding with them. Those children are reborn or born, and they were different. And originally when I heard these stories, I thought that they meant that the reptilians, they looked like they were reptilians, but that's not what they meant. They meant that they had become self-aware. They started challenging the other aliens. And like, why are we, get your ass out here in planet field. We outnumber y'all like 100 to 1. Why are we doing all this? Eventually, somewhere in our past, there was a revolution. And basically humans at that point realized that they couldn't keep us as a slave race. Or maybe the reptilians were telling them, look, humans, you're not keeping them. We're going to start a war over this. And then the Greys just showed up. And then everything changed after that. They showed up and the style of abductions changed, everything. I mean, it was just in that 1 second, whatever that time frame was, everything changed.
Yeah.
You know, they brought civility to the arguments. They made everybody stop with their bullshit. And they took over the abductions and what was going on and realized at that point that these two idiot alien races had given some neo-nothing race really advanced DNA, meaning theirs. So the Greys, I guess, decided, because this is when Rh negative shows that, remember people, until 35,000 years ago, there was no Rh negative on this planet. It was only Rh positive. Rh positive shares 2% of its genome with the rhesus monkey. That's why they call it Rh for rhesus monkey. But Rh negative does not share a common gene with the rhesus monkey, period. It's a totally different thing. Also, O negative is the universal donor. So these aliens introduce Rh negative into our society. It becomes the universal donor and the most purest form of blood known to man. It's where all of our hematological research comes from. So Mother Nature wouldn't have created this because, as we know, O and positive kill each other off. Until someone invented the anti-Denny D gene from some Australia guy who had it, we used to have to get blood tests because you couldn't get married if you were too, you know, negative and a positive. You're liable to have a stillborn.
Yeah.
So, you know, we eventually invented a gene for that and stopped that. Now, today, you don't have to be. But Mother Nature would not have created something that deliberately killed 15% of the population. That's not something Mother Nature would have created. And why? I mean, for millions of years, humans were running around fine with just Rh positive. But a lot of people give Rh negative the is what really brought humans into full sentience. It's what really made us become who we are today. Personally, I don't believe that. I think the reptilians is what brought us into full sentience. All the Greys did was add to our sentience. But y'all can argue that all y'all want. It doesn't really matter either way. It's just interesting to talk about. But here you've got, and then it's more than that, because if you go look at the Mesoamericans and the way, you know, they worshiped the reptilians and the things they did for the reptilians, if you go to the Middle East and you see the same things, you got to wonder, you know, why we changed. What was the driving force that changed us? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think the aliens thought when religion started here, when Christianity started, when Jesus showed up. I think they thought, because the reptilians themselves only have one religion. I think the humans only have one religion. I don't know what the Greys have. But if the stories are true, they only have one. I think they thought that by bringing in one religion, maybe they could unite the planet under one government. And back then was the time to do it. There wasn't that many governments. If you could have had an army that could have conquered the known world and held it, we would be a one-world government today. Or if you would have just let MacArthur have his way after World War II, we'd be a one-world government today. Because he wanted to take out Russia and China right then and there and make them part of the United States. And after that, we'd have been so big and so powerful that no one could have opposed, and Europe just would have joined. We'd be one world today. I hate to say it, but I don't think we're going to make one world without breaking some eggs. The only other way I can see it happening is if ET just shows up and says, get your shit together. Unite your planet or we're going to turn you into toast. Then we might, you know. But then I don't know if we could do it then. Who's going to be in charge? So let's look at the world leaders today. Is Donald Trump going to be in charge of the world? Maybe, maybe not. Putin? Maybe, maybe not. Ping? Maybe, maybe not. Merkel? Maybe, maybe not. Theresa May? I mean, really, who are you going to trust to run the world? And why would a Russian or a Chinese trust Trump to run the world? Well, for that matter, why would an American trust Putin to run the world?
Yeah, makes sense.
So I don't know how we're going to do this. Well, you know, James, you're right. I mean, you could start by wiping them all out and starting fresh and letting the ET pick the leader. But then you'd be making the leader almost like godlike because ET picked them. I don't know if that'd be a good thing either.
Yeah. And we're young. A lot of are talking about the Antichrist showing up beforehand and, you know, a handpicked person by the UN or God knows what. So.
Yeah. Oh, you think, you know, it's funny you said that, Marshall, because we were talking about, I caught the tail end of a Manchurian candidate tonight when I came home. And my wife said, you know, maybe Obama was a Manchurian candidate. I have no idea. I just seen you post that in the chat room. That's the reason I said anything. But no, I don't think Obama was an alien. I don't think Trump's an alien. I don't think aliens are that stupid. No, these two guys are, or I don't know what to say about these two guys, but they're not aliens. And if they are aliens, we're in deep shit. That's all I can tell you. If that's what aliens are, we're in deep, 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 deep dog doo-doo.
That's why I was asking beforehand if aliens come in human form to pretend they are us, but they really have a different agenda, almost like a, you know.
Yeah, but see, if they wanted to do that's it. That's the thing. If they really wanted to do that, they would just come in and take over. And then we just did, because for them, it's more beneficial for us to be united than to be fighting. In other words, it helps their, it speeds their agenda up, is what I'm trying to say. For us to be a united world, we would speed up the reptilian humans and Gray's agenda. According to them, what contactee said, greatly. It would probably triple. It also triple our evolution. Because people, you have to remember this, as a united planet, cancer would have already been cured. Most diseases would have been cured. Because instead of dumping $1 trillion a year on defense, we'd be jumping on science. And actually, if you took the world's budget for the military, we would be spending $3 trillion a year on cancer research or heart research. Do you know how – and you'd have every scientist in the world united. So the Russian scientists and the Chinese scientists and the American scientists and the British scientists would all be working on that same goal. Science would move so much faster on this planet. And the way you know this is because during the mid – the Dark Ages, the 500 years of the Dark Ages, they agree that the church set the human race back probably 1,500 to 2,000 years. If the church wouldn't have came to exist when it did and we were allowed to develop without religion, they say today we'd be at least 2,000 years more advanced than we are. Because so many books and so many smart people were downgraded or killed or destroyed because in the name of God. You know, come on, look at Leonardo. You know how much more work he would have been done if he wasn't having to hide it and put it in quatrains or Notre Dame or any of them? Any of the famous inventors back in the day would have went so much further. Leonardo would have flown his airplane instead of just hanging it in the library. I'm just saying, guys, I mean, it would have been a different world. Yep. But we were too ignorant, too scared.
Thank you so much for your wisdom. I have to head out here.
I enjoyed you calling in. And actually, I'm going to do another show now because I got off topic with you. But, anytime, call in anytime. I appreciate you hanging out.
Yeah. Thanks, my friend.
All right, thank you. Mark, I've seen you calling, but we're gonna let this caller get off and give me a few minutes. And well, we only got like 15 minutes left, so I don't know if I can let anybody else in here. It's a nice gentleman. I like people call in, debate, and talk, and you know, want to talk about it and hold their own opinion. Well, you know, Reese, it's funny you say that because when Callie used to call in a long time ago, he was kind of scary and nervous and stuttered and stuff. Oh, no, he speaks clear these days. The only time he gets a little frazzled if I get on his ass, but no, he does really well. He's turned into a really good speaker. He holds his own opinion. He does his research. I like people like that. Whether I agree, well, I agree with him sometimes I don't. But the point is, it doesn't matter because I like him, the fact that he does that. I like people who do their research. Because I tell people all the time, you know, come argue with me, at least do some homework first. And he does. We've argued evolution more times than I can think. And from time to time, something will come out and go my way or come out and go his way, so we'll change it. But it's fun. Well, because evolution's still a theory. It's not a fact. Before anybody writes, look, I think part of evolution should be considered fact. In parts, we just don't know if it is or not. Well, that's like when I read the article again about spontaneous evolution. It just doesn't make sense for humans. No. But something intervening doesn't make sense either. Anything could have intervened in our past. Well, I tell people all the time, some of the best evidence for extraterrestrials in the past, and the reason why is because aircraft, even in the United States 50 years ago, there weren't that many aircraft flying around. 100 years ago, there was virtually nothing in our skies, but yet we've seen shit all over the United States. Not just here, all over Europe. For the last 2,000 years of recorded history, or actually the last 3,000 years of recorded history, we have seen weird shit flying around in the skies. And you can't explain that. You know, it's not just one society, it's hundreds of societies. One of my favorite stories is it's about a city in the Middle East that was under siege. Actually, this is a true story. So the invading army had been there for, I think, 3 months or 6 months or something, trying to get in there, and the inside wasn't. So all of a sudden, a chevron-shaped shield comes up over the gate, a blue beam comes down and just blows the gate to shit and back, and they go in and kill and murder and rape everybody in the village and the whole nine yards in the city. But both the victor and the loser wrote this down the same way, that some type of shield-shaped thing, shaped like a shield, came and hovered over the gate and then blew the gate apart. A blue beam came down and blew the gate apart. So both the victor and the loser wrote the story the same way. Yeah, it's out there somewhere. You can find it. No, it's been decades since I looked at it. Yeah, so much shit that I looked at when I was young. Well, you know, but you can find it. But more importantly, there's lots of stories like this. It's not the only one. There's lots of artwork. Some of my favorite artwork is religious artwork that show aliens in it or UFOs in it. Like one of the ones with the Mother Mary in it. She's sitting there and she's got the baby in her lap. And you see what looks to be a comet up here to the left of the screen, left of the picture. But there's a person sitting in it. And then you see other stuff like that in other ones. I mean, it's what it is. I don't know, guys. Well, E.T.'s here. E.T.'s been doing a lot of stuff for a long time. Our government's more than admitted to it more than once. Well, like McCain. Not McCain. What is his name? Bush Cheney. Bush Cheney. Dark Cheney. I always call him Dark Cheney. Anyway, Cheney was asked by a ufologist, I think it was Grant Cameron, or UFOs real. And he simply looked over at Grant. He said, if I answered that, I'd have to have you killed. And he looked away. That was his answer. That was the vice president of the United States' answer to a reporter. Was he kidding? He didn't look like he was kidding. No, he looked damn serious. Senator McDonald, there's been lots of them that have seen things. President Carter. It's because they know, and not everybody knows. Because it's compartmentalized. You know, a lot of people just don't need to know. So I'm sure a lot's excuse me. Damn, I apologize, guys. I'm sure a lot want to know. And I'm sure a lot have little bits and pieces. That's how I've learned so much over the years, is by finding people in different programs that have bits and pieces. Thank you, Curtis. Actually, ICAR does have a lot of pieces of the puzzle. Do we have more than anybody else? I don't know. I guarantee you we got more than anybody in the ufology field by far. Probably tenfold. Oh, God, yeah, easy. As far as governments. But I've said this before on the radio. I don't mind sharing with Uncle Sam. I don't want to give him my contactees because I don't think that's right. But the data, I don't mind sharing. Because it's our government. They should be protecting us. They should at least understand what's going on. So I don't really have a problem with sharing that way. Like I said, I don't want to give up the contact deeds because the government don't need to be screwing with their people. But as far as the data, no. Oh, we've had spooks call in more than once. Oh, man, we had guys. We've had people take over the airwaves, take over other people's computers abroad. We had one that was on Alpha, whatever, talking about alien agendas, and they shut down the studio, me and Alfred's phones, and everyone listening to the show. There was 400,000 people listening tonight. Everyone got kicked off. The server was still on, but everyone individually got kicked off like some kind of wave shot through. Mm-hmm. And we've had people will be on the air, and all of a sudden you'll hear somebody, well, Joe, let me ask you this since you brought this up, and, you know, my boss kind of wants to know about this. Well, this isn't a guest. This isn't anybody. We know who's in the queue. This is somebody who took over and just started talking. The whole entire time I did Wake Up USA and UFO Undercover with a phone line, not one time did I open the lines up that the red light wasn't on. The red light means there's an open line, that somewhere there's another line open. Well, since we only had used one phone in the studio for the hookup, it was going through a hybrid box. There was no other lines. But yet, every time, same thing. When Jeff was doing a Wake Up USA, it was always an open line. Somebody was always listening. Well, they listen now. You just can't see it because we go over the internet now. It's actually easier for them now. The phone lines made it a little tougher. Plus, hard phones, you have to get warrants for. So, not as much on data these days. They got a lot of bullshit to get around on the data consumption, data usage, and how they find stuff. Depending on what program you want to believe in. Hold on, let me grab this call right quick. Depending on what program you want to believe in, there's lots of data collection programs. No, there's lots of data collection programs. Hello, welcome to UFO Undercover.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, look, I've been doing research and seeing invisible dimensions. And I got a big breakthrough. I found some evidence about... they have these three mountains that's carved. They got two different kind of aliens. It's in California, and it's on mountains. You can see them from 5 miles away or whatever. It's gigantic. But well, the wait, alien, yeah, reptilian one.
Damn alien. No, go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
Okay. The reptilian, the evil one, is on there, but they got a dude. He's a white Caucasian. He looks like a Jedi. He's got a hood on and everything. You know, he's carved in the mountain in California, but the good one, the good alien is behind him, and the evil one is to the right of him, and the good one's like looking at the reptilian one like, I got my eyes on you, you know, it's kind of like,
yeah, I wish I'd have seen that. That's just out in Cali, man, damn, I miss all the good stuff.
But I want to do a documentary. I want to get a team of people to do a documentary of this stuff.
Oh, well, look, I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to do real quick, man, because I'm getting ready to get off the air in a minute. But look, I don't know how serious you are, but if you're serious, there's a girl called Christina George. She lives in Cali. She was on this. She does shows on this. So she does Paranormal Connections on Mondays and Top Secret News. She usually follows this show. She's off tonight, but usually follows this show. Give her a call, and you legit, she'll hook you up, man. She'll tell you how to get it all done.
Okay.
They do a lot of this kind of research out there, man. They do a lot of weird stuff out there in Cali, you know. Cali's a weird place, so.
But, I saw a base. See, I do field research. I saw a base in California, and I saw –
Up, oh, did I lose you? Oh, I guess I lost him. Hey, where'd you go? Oh, guess we lost him. Anyway, guys, we got to get out of here anyway. Sound like a nice guy. I have no idea. Was he a hoax? Could be, man. Could be. I don't know. I love people calling into the show. It's one of my favorite things. Oh, hell, sorry, guys. I wasn't looking at the damn YouTube chat room. Man, y'all need to get on my butt. I apologize. I like that what he just said there. That's a good point, old ladyfish. They a lot of stuff that you used to be able to find on Google, you can't find anymore. And I got another question. I put all kind of shit into Google, right? And it corrects it. I put in Obama, it always changes Obama's O to a small O to a capital O. Any other president's name I put in, it does not do that for. Is it a conspiracy? I have no idea if it's a conspiracy or not, but it makes me crazy. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at the room. I had the, for some reason, I had the other one open. No, I love the people that come in chat on YouTube. Y'all are great. But anyway, we got to get out of here. I was going to let this guy call back in, but we got to get, it's 5 minutes to the top of the hour. I will put up an archive of Christina George in a few minutes, and y'all can take a listen. But I have to get out of here. So again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to UFO Undercover with the infamous Joe and Tyler. We got to talk about a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking with the guy who called in. And ladies and gentlemen, don't be scared to call in. Even when we're in subject matter, for some reason we get off topic, you know, I own a network, so I can always bring it back on topic on another day. On that note, I'm going to tell everyone good night and thanks for tuning in. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.